And where was Moses found? Come on, guys, this is a quiz. In the rushes, that's right. And where did Moses live? In the palace. What country did he live in?
Egypt.
But was he an Egyptian?
No.
No. What race was he? He was an Israelite. He was a Hebrew. Okay, so where did he?
Picnic.
You're going on a picnic. But not in Egypt. Okay. So Moses grew up in the courts of Pharaoh, didn't he? Yeah. But then what happened? Did he stay in the courts of Pharaoh? No. And what happened then? What happened?
He saw, because the Israelites had been turned into slaves, so he saw an Egyptian overseer beating an Israelite. So he told him to stop, and when the Egyptian didn't, he got so overwhelmed that he killed the man.
So he committed
murder.
So he committed murder. Okay, showed a little bit of lack of judgment, perhaps. Okay, so then what happens to him? Does he stay in Egypt? No. He goes off to the desert and becomes a shepherd, doesn't he? So we're going to look at what happened to Moses out in the desert. What did he do? He became a shepherd. And so do you think he was practicing speeches? Do you think he was doing speech writing in the desert? What do you normally do when you're a shepherd? You watch sheep. Is that particularly good preparation to be a leading man of God? Would you think? No, maybe not. Did you think he was practicing court manners? No, he wasn't doing anything of the sort, was he? And do you think that he was very well groomed and had oil in his head and used perfume like he used to? No, probably not. Okay, but God asked him to do something amazing. So while he was being a shepherd, do you remember the story? He was walking along with the sheep and he saw something truly amazing. What did he see?
A burning bush.
A burning bush. And what was amazing about this burning bush? I mean, desert fires aren't all that unusual, are they?
It wasn't burning up. It just kept burning. It kept burning.
It kept burning, but it wasn't being consumed. Wasn't that very unusual? But you know what? The most unusual thing about this burning bush wasn't even the fact that it wasn't burning. What was the really unusual thing?
That it talked to Moses.
The bush talked. Cool.
Who was talking?
God.
God was talking to Moses out of the middle of that bush. Okay, God was asking Moses to do some pretty amazing things. And we're going to see how Moses reacted. Okay? Kyle, can you put the clip up? So let's just watch and see what happened. And let's see how Moses, this great, brave man of God, reacted.
I am that I am. I don't understand.
I am the God of your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Of my people in Egypt and have heard their cry.
Stop it! Leave that man alone!
So I have come down to deliver them out of slavery and bring them to a good land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And so unto Pharaoh I shall send. These people, they'll never believe me. They won't even listen. I shall teach you what to say.
Let my people go!
But I was their enemy. I was the prince of Egypt, the son of the man who slaughtered their children. You've chosen the wrong messenger. How can I even speak to these people?
Who made man? Who made the deaf, the mute, the seeing, or the blind?
Is really confident? No? What did the Pharaoh want him to do?
The Pharaoh or God?
Sorry, that was a good one. What did God want him to do?
Free the people of Israel.
Perfect. That's exactly what he wanted him to do. He wanted to send him to free the people of Israel, didn't he? And was Moses feeling really confident about this? Did he figure that God had the right man?
No, he thought God was choosing the wrong man.
That's right, he did. He didn't feel very confident, he didn't feel very qualified, and he said, no, I don't want to do it, didn't he? That's right. But what does God promise? God promised that he would go with him, and that he would be with him, and that he would equip him, because whoever God sends, he also equips. Are you having a picnic still? Same picnic? Okay, and God still does that today. He doesn't ask people to do things that he's not going to equip them for, even though sometimes God picks people that we don't think are qualified either. Sometimes he asks us to do things and we think we don't know how to do that, or that isn't particularly what we're good at. But he always and always, always equips us and sends us out with him. He always promises that we don't go alone, just like when Moses was sent. And we have to remember that always.
How am I going to do this? I got these two bits of wood here and I have to make a cross. And it's going to be really hard because I just got this stupid screwdriver here and it's going to take me forever. Hold on, at least they fit together now. Oh man, it's going to take so long with this thing. Oh, here we go. Round and around and around.
Hey, Patty, are you all right there?
Well, not really, no, because I got to put in these really long screws, and I've only got this, like, screwdriver here, and it's just going to take me forever, and it's so hard.
I might have something that could help you.
Really?
Yeah, I'll just go and get it.
Oh, that'd be great. I could use all the help. It's just like, it's going to take forever.
Hey, Whoa. Buddy, look at this.
What's that?
It's a power screwdriver, look.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it might be like, much quicker.
Hey, there's power in it.
Yeah.
That I like it. Look, I'm going to have it done in no time. Oh, that's amazing, Sarah. Thank you so much. I just have to turn it into forward motion. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Here we go. Watch.
Excellent. That's one.
Yeah, job done.
Wow.
Thanks so much, Sarah.
No problem.
That is great. Fantastic.
Hey, did you see what happened there, okay? Paddy was trying to put that cross together, and he only had a silly little screwdriver. And that's grand for small jobs. But he had a big job there. Those nails were really long, those screws. And when I gave him the power screwdriver, it was really quick. It was done in like 2 seconds. Okay? And we all know, right? You've heard before that Jesus died on the cross, okay? And he was dead and for 3 days, and then he rose again, okay? And he went back to be with God in heaven. But you know what? He didn't leave us alone. Does anyone know what he gave us? He gave us a gift, Bethany.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, well done. And that's what we're talking about today, okay? The power to live for God. But we can't do that by ourselves, okay? So when Jesus died and he went back up to heaven, he left us with that gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, as Bethany said, okay? Because God knew how hard it would be for us to live without his help, okay? It's pretty much impossible, all right? He knew that we needed help, okay? I don't know, I find it really hard to live for God. Anyone else here? Guys, do you find it hard too, yeah? But God knew that we would have trouble, so he gave us his Holy Spirit, the best gift that there could ever be to help us, okay? And we can, like, lean on the Holy Spirit. We can ask the Holy Spirit to help us any time that we're having trouble, all right? Because God didn't want it to be hard for us. He didn't want us to have really difficult lives. We'll have trouble, yes, but he wanted there to be someone to help us, okay? And that's the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're learning today that God's power helps us to live for him. That's a really important message. Okay. Oh my goodness, what? What's going on? Oh my goodness! What's going on? What's going on? He's like, he looks really injured. Is he going to be okay? Is he going to be alright? Is he going to give him CPR? Is he there? Is he going to be alright? Is he going to live? Is he going to be okay? Is he going to be okay? Come on, guys. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Come on, come on. Oh, what do you think? Is he going to make it? Is he going to make it? Give him a big shout if you think he can make it. Come on. Come on. Come on. I think it's gonna come back into life. Do you know what? Do you know what? We have an emergency. Do you know that we have an emergency? Did you know that we have an emergency? Should I tell you what the emergency is? Should I tell you the emergency has something to do with Core Kids? Who knows what Core Kids is here? Who knows what Core Kids is? Who's a part of Core Kids? Who goes to one of the groups on a Sunday? Who, if you go to one of the groups, stick your hand up. The little people, they can't stick their hands out. We have an emergency, do you know that? And I'm going to tell you what the emergency is. And the emergency is something that the adults back here are going to only need their help with. Because the problem is that we have an emergency with our volunteer numbers. It's a bit like a life or death situation right now. We run 4 groups every Sunday, apart from the family service, right from the little one, like Connor over here, who's just 10 weeks old, up to Isabella, who's 12, you're already 12, you're nearly 12, the whole age group. And that means that on a Sunday, you adults can sit here and you can worship the Lord and you can pray and you can listen to the talk without screaming and stuff. And the kids get to go to groups that are right for their ages, they get to learn and they get to worship the Lord and they get to meet with him.
To learn how to ride my bicycle. Alright? Now, it's no problem to me now, I can ride my bicycle, but when I was 5, I hadn't a clue how to ride a bicycle. And I asked my dad, I said, Dad, how do I ride a bicycle? How do I learn to ride a bicycle? He said, you just sit on it, he said, you look straight forward, he said, and you pedal, right? And you pedal, and I started pedaling, and I fell over, and because I'd never done it before. And then I got back up, and I tried it again, and I okay, I'm gonna learn to ride this bicycle, and I fell over again, and I fell over and over and over and over and over and over again, and I was covered in bruises. And do you know what? When I was sitting there on the ground, right, with my my dad was helping me, and he was standing beside me all the time. Do you think when I was lying on the ground, all upset because I couldn't do it, do you think he pointed at me and went, you're useless. You'll never learn to ride your bike. Do you think he said that?
Yeah.
Some of you might. But my dad isn't like that. No. My heavenly dad certainly isn't like that. And he said to me, come on, Paddy, you can do it. You can do it. Come on, I know you can. Just keep on trying. Keep on trying. You can do it. Okay, and that's what my dad said to me. And you know what? My dad has a photograph of me cycling down the road on his big bike with my hands off the handlebars. Because he couldn't believe that when I learned to ride my bike, and then I wanted to ride a bigger bike, and then I wanted to do it with no hands. So he's a picture of that. Now, I'm not advising any of you to do that, ever. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is my dad encouraged me, and he was there for me. And your dad is there for you, but your dad in heaven is absolutely there for you, okay? Your dad in heaven is in heaven cheering you on. He knows we mess up. He knows we make mistakes. He knows he worked with Moses, and Moses was pretty kind of lily-livered at the start. He was like, I can't do it. Why is he sending me? He's the wrong guy. But God said, no, I am powerful, not you. I have the power, not you. Okay? So when God asks you to do something, and I know God is going to ask some of you kids and some of you adults to do amazing things in his kingdom. He has big plans for you. You just got to see how big our God is, not how small we are. Because his power helps us to live for him. His power is what we need to focus on. We need to ask him to fill us with his power. And I'm going to ask Kate to come and teach us a little bit about that, about how he fills us with his power.
Hello everyone. We have been learning about the power of the Holy Spirit. We have seen that very often we can't do things on our own. Paddy needed help with the electric power drill. He needed help to ride the bike by getting advice from his dad. And you have people that look after you, parents who give you advice. But who is the greatest help that we can ever have here on earth when we want to be good, as someone said, when we want to obey God's commands? Whose power is the greatest power that we can have? God's power. And what do we call that power? Two words. What do we call the power that God gives us in order to help to serve him? What do we call that power? The Holy Spirit. How can we have the Holy Spirit in our lives? What do we need to do to have the Holy Spirit in our lives? We saw Moses kneeling whenever he was in the presence of God. What else can we do to get this Holy Spirit?
We can pray and live like Jesus.
We can pray. Very good. Well done, Debbie. What else can we do in order to have this Holy Spirit? What can we ask for? What position can we be in, even if I'm trying to get to?
Believe. believing in Jesus.
Yes, we can believe, Alex. Well done.
To be forgiven.
We will be forgiven, yes. There are things we can ask for. Moses knelt. Is there any other way that we can receive this power? Can we can just sit and ask for it. And are there any other ways that we can do that? You sometimes see people in church doing these things. Isabel? We can sing, good girl. What else can we do? Does anybody, what kind of shape is this? What is it, Catherine? It's like a trumpet, yes. If we put it the other way like this, what's it like? Down a cone. What position are the sides of the cone going up in? Can you do it with, Can you do it with your hands or your arms? Do you see people in church doing that? Why do people in church do this?
Why do they do that?
What are they doing? What are they thinking? What are they feeling? The power of God. That's what he's getting to. Well done. Why do people do this
in church?
Because they're asking for the power of God to come into their life. What's that power called again? The Holy Spirit. Can you have the Holy Spirit in your lives?
Yes.
Of course you can. And one of the ways you can do it is by putting your hands in the air and asking the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And it's like this. This funnel represents your shape of putting your hands in the air. This empty bottle represents your body. And this lovely red juice represents the Holy Spirit. And yes, we can kneel, we can sit and ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives to give us the power to be good and to obey Jesus. But another way of doing it is by putting your hands in the air. And it's like this. We ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. Does he go in? Yeah, big time. He comes right in and he fills us right up. Let's hope this works.
Way.
Is it going in? Is it leaking out? It's going right in. When we asked the Holy Spirit to come in, the Holy Spirit was with Moses. The Holy Spirit was with all the apostles, all the men who believed in Jesus in the Bible. They asked the Holy Spirit to come in to help them, and the Holy Spirit did come in and fill them right up to help them to serve him, to help them to love Jesus. Okay?
So, guys, what we want to do today to come, we want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. So I'd ask that maybe all the kids and all the adults, if we'd all just stand. We're going to sing a song now called Fill Me Up, Lord. Okay? And I want everybody to join in. And it's like a simple prayer. It's like a simple prayer. And if you feel comfortable, you can put your hands up. It's like a posture of saying, God, come fill me. I need your power to live for you. I need your strength. I need your power to live a good life, to live for you, to do the things that you've asked me to do or that you're going to ask me to do. So let's join in together. And while we're doing this, I want to ask the kids especially, if they hear, I want you to be open to ask God to speak to you. I want you to be open to God's voice in your life and for his voice to speak to you. And I'm going to ask anybody who wants to afterwards to maybe share something of what God has said to them with us. And maybe some of the adults would be open as well, and that they would, we'd ask them whether God has spoken to them, whether God said anything to them. So we're just going to simply do that. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing this song together. We're going to be open to the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask him to come and speak to us and to fill us up. And then hopefully some people will share about what God has said to them. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that your promise is that when we ask you to come by your Holy Spirit, your promise is that you will. You say where two or three are gathered together, you are there. So Lord, we welcome you. You're already here. We welcome you here by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd fill this place with your Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd fill this place with your power. We pray that you'd speak to us, God. We pray that you would inspire us, God. We thank you for all of the wonderful things you're doing amongst us, in us, through us, in this community. God, we lift up your name and we ask you to fill us. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Holy Spirit. We praise you, Father. We thank you for your mercy for us. And Lord, we pray that you'd fill us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.